Welcome to another episode of the Design Review. My name is Chris, and with me is Jonathan.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be on the show. And we have a very exciting episode where we're going to be bringing on the founder. So we're going to be reviewing Layer Vault today. And the founder and former CTO, Kelly Sutton, will be joining us on the second half. So we're going to be doing 30 minutes of just me and Chris talking about the app, and then 30 minutes with Kelly interviewing him about, you know, how they design at Layer Vault and what their process is like, things like that. So that's going to be exciting. I'm excited to get into that.
Yeah, me too. But before we get into all of that, as usual, we got to talk about podcast business stuff. So if you go onto the website, you can sign up for email notifications. As always, they're up in the top right column. And all you do is just put your email in there. And as soon as a new episode comes out, we send you an email. And you can click on the button in the email and listen to the episode just like magic.
It is. It's magic. And it's MailChimp magic. It's great.
Thanks, MailChimp.
We actually have chimps doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you need to get in touch with us, the best way probably is via Twitter. And you can find me on Twitter at MachineHuman.
And I'm DesignUXUI.
And then, of course, we got to talk about it. iTunes is going to come at some point.
Coming soon, forever. I mean, this is crazy. We were talking about this. Episode 8.
Episode 8, yeah.
Pretty much, you know, 2 months here. And we're still getting our RSSV together. If we make a shirt, we should do the RSS feed is coming or something. But I don't think anyone else would buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's coming together. And yeah, I mean, next week, always next week. All right. So today's show is again, Layer Vault. And the format as always is to discuss our expectations, the onboarding process, the user experience, good and bad, then some of the aesthetics and interactions, and then finally, did it match up with our expectations and keep or delete? And then of course, after that, we get to talk to Kelly.
Yes, of course.
All right, so yeah, so what was your initial expectation of Layer Vault? Like for me, I'm all over designer news, so that's kind of my first impression was all the updates that they put out on there every once in a while, and I've also seen the marketing site, and the marketing site, if you've never been on Layer Vault's site, it's actually really nice aesthetically. But when I started going on there right now to kind of, you know, take it all in, like I really didn't understand what I was going to get.
Yeah.
Like I knew it was going to be really good because the quality of the marketing site was really good, but I wasn't actually sure 100% what it did. Like I knew it was sort of like design revisions and it's going to save and kind of like, and yeah, like save all my work for me as I'm working and kind of like host it. Like that was sort of my mental idea of what was going on. What about you?
Well, because, yeah, I heard about Layer Vault, oh, I don't know, long time ago. I don't even remember what it was. I think it might have even been in, like, some of the early days of Product Hunt. I don't remember what it was that got me onto the website. But from what I remember back then, it was just sort of like, it just made me think of, you know, like a cloud storage service. You know, of course, there's so many cloud storage services nowadays, and I don't know who doesn't actually use one yet at this point. But that was all I thought about it was, like, oh, it's a place for me to put PSDs in the cloud. And how many of those do we have already, and how many, you know, like, I'm using a bunch myself. And so for me, I was kind of thinking, like, what, you know, what difference does Layer Vault have that actually makes it, I don't know, either better or unique? So yeah, I wasn't really sure what it would do. I didn't really poke around on the website too much, to be honest.
Oh, well, have you seen the marketing site? Because it's really nice.
Well, I looked at the homepage and I thought, okay, oh, okay, it's another cloud storage site.
Because I mean, like, well, I mean, just one thing about the sort of, I guess this kind of goes into the onboarding is, you know, I'm glad they have like the tour and the video up front, because that for me, that's always what I'm looking for right off the bat. Is like, listen, just show me a video, entertain me, tell me what it's going to be about, because I've been to like a numerous amount of websites, and usually the website tells you nothing. The video tells you exactly what you need in like a condensed amount of time. So, and I think that's kind of the same thing for this. I really like their animations, but they don't really tell me anything about what's, like they're not selling me on it. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what it's going to offer me. although the animations are nice, you know, and it kind of becomes a good thing to a bad thing where, you know, you're just almost frustrated at the awesome animations because it's not telling you anything about what you're trying to find out about the service.
Yeah. I mean, I just didn't read anything and I didn't,
I'm the typical user,
right? I just didn't read anything and just like, oh, okay, cloud storage, done, got it.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing is like if you don't have, you know, like the current trend, even though it's really, you know, the same thing over and over again with like a picture about sort of the context, you know, some big, you know, text, a big button, you know, click to your to this video, you scroll down one feature, scroll down the other feature. You know, that's that sort of one pager feel is like it's kind of overdone, but it's effective, you know, like you know the context right away, you know the one thing that they do, and you have a call to action and like a video. And like that's and then if you want to go like one by one for each of the features, you can kind of break it down. And it's very effective on, okay, that's what this app is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really a big part of the onboarding process is that, you know, that first contact on your website.
Yeah. Which we haven't actually talked too much about, actually.
No. Yeah. I mean, well, I guess because most of them have been kind of apps-ish.
Yeah, that's true.
But, but yeah, I mean, I mean, we should even talk about more about the screens, you know, in iTunes and the video now that you can include.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's all I have to say about that is, you know, it's an important first step on an onboarding, especially when you're that's the main entry point.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about onboarding then.
Okay.
How was it for you?
It was good. So for me, I decided like it for first right off the bat, it sort of asks you to either install. Use Dropbox or Layer Vault.
Right, yeah.
And maybe it's kind of the same thing, like I hadn't paid enough attention to the website, but like I wasn't ready to commit to anything yet.
Yeah.
So I sort of just ignored that. What about you?
Yeah, so the way I got in was through, actually you invited me to join the little org that you set up in there. And so I just went in through that email. And so the next thing that I saw was basically a sign-up form, which was... It was really, really super easy because all I had to do was put in my name and a password or something, and that was it. Like, there was nothing else I needed to fill out. So it was like, I think it was like three fields, which was
awesome. So on your end, did it feel very like quick and seamless?
Yeah, it was like super seamless, really
nice.
Good. And then once I got past the sign-up form, there were like a couple pop-ups, and one of them was like the Layer Vault Dropbox thing. And it was the same thing. Like I didn't feel like I wanted to commit to something right at that point. And so I just kind of like clicked through both of them.
Yeah, and really, and like the apps, it's if you really do need that at that point, it's really good to just have a little text or a little picture or a little something right before you ask for those things to explain in a little depth of, all right, this is what, you know, this is what we do. This is what we're going to need. And then boom. And then ask that for, you know, those installations or those tasks that the user needs to complete.
Yeah. I mean, I was ready to like start poking around and start, you know, uploading things. And I didn't want to look at pop-ups. I just wanted to get into the product. But then it turned out that you actually needed to either install the app or connect your Dropbox or whatever. And so then I was like, oh, I'm screwed. I can't upload anything.
Yeah, I had the same exact thing. So I eventually went back, found out in the links, you know, where to download their app, and I downloaded it.
Yeah, so I did the different thing. So I was trying to connect Dropbox to it, and it was like really, really a convoluted process. Well, so what you end up having to do to connect your Dropbox, and this is actually the only way that they support Windows, by the way, because the app is Mac only.
Mm.
But in order to connect your Dropbox, you have to go in and change the permissions on the entire org, I think. So to give people some context, what is an org in Layer Vault? So when you create a place to store all your files, you create it by organization. So this could be, I don't know, either the company you work for or whatever the project it is that you're working on. And then once you create the org, then you can start uploading the stuff to the file system. And then...
PSD type stuff. And
yeah.
I mean, the cool thing is that they do PSDs and they you know, Sketch and like a couple other formats, Illustrator, I think even.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And it auto syncs.
Yeah. It auto syncs, auto saves. And they have some pretty deep integrations, which is really cool.
Yeah. But in order to sync Dropbox to your Layer Vault, you have to go and change how the organization works. So you're basically disabling the Layer Vault app if you've already connected it, and then reconnecting it to Dropbox. And then what it does is, in Dropbox, you have a Layer Vault folder, basically, and that's where you start dropping in all your stuff. But the problem with that, I could see there being some issues with that, because let's say you've been using it with the Layer Vault app, and then all of a sudden, I don't know, people decide to convert it to Dropbox, and then, you know, what happens to all the stuff? And because I know that they're slightly different too in terms of what features they have.
Yeah. So. And one thing I want to say is I really enjoyed the Layer Vault app icon. You know, it's like back in the, I know they flattened their logo, but the icon for this app is still the old one. Uh-huh. And I have to say, one thing I really miss about skeuomorphism is just like the craft of it, you know, like the all the details, you know, like the, just the craftsmanship of it, you know, like it's so hard to do. And like, I mean, like, I'm just kind of looking at this app and I can't believe like someone painted this app. It's like really nice, high detail app. You've got like that famous photo there and this vault behind it. It's like, uh-huh. I think it's image number 2.
Okay.
Yeah. So just kind of missed that. About skeuomorphism. So, but it was very well done on that, whoever made that. Uh-huh. All right. So then once we actually got it working, so once we, you know, I uploaded a PSD, kind of, I did like a fake shirt mock and had like a couple different versions, tried to like, I tried to make it like show like going from like a bad idea to more solid idea. So I didn't really think about using marker felt, I promise, as a font for a shirt. but yeah, so once you actually got into the app, the core of the function, you know, what was the user experience like for you, good and bad?
Well, yeah, so based on my expectations, I was expecting to be able to just like manually just drop files into there. And I couldn't do that. And so like I was mentioning, like, oh, you need to actually download the app or connect your Dropbox somehow. And so like it was just really difficult to get that going. And so really like a lot of my experience with it was like poking around in their help system, trying to figure out how to like actually put files into Layer Vault. But yeah, once I got it going, it worked okay. You know, I remember I put a bunch of files. What did I put in there? It was all the PSDs for the graphics for SoundCloud. So they're all in Layer Vault right now. And so I put them in my Dropbox folder, and then I went back to Layer Vault and they didn't really show up. And then I was like, what the heck's going on? I thought it was going to auto sync this stuff. But then I just like refreshed the browser. Everything worked fine.
Okay.
So yeah, it worked fine. I mean, all that stuff worked fine. The other thing that I did is I tried making a presentation out of one of the graphics just to see what it was, because I didn't know what they meant by presentation.
Right.
And it's a cool little feature. So basically you can, with any graphic file that you put in there, you can convert it into an online presentation. Not really like a PowerPoint, but it's sort of like a, I don't know what you'd call it. It's just a page basically with all the images on there that you can design as a presentation. And this is, to me, I thought it was like a really nice little feature. I know if I was working in an agency or something, like I could see this being very useful to either collaborate with people or to present stuff to clients or to pitch ideas or to do whatever, because it would be such a pain to go from your PSDs and put it into PowerPoint or Keynote or whatever, and like just that kind of back and forth. Whereas in Layer Vault, it's all just kind of in there and you can just generate a presentation really quickly.
Yeah, and I think that presentation actually, it's funny that you were talking about presentation. I think that's actually probably the main UX issue that I see in Layer Vault, is that it's got so many of these really, really cool features technologically.
Yeah.
And you know, the general aesthetic is really nice, but it's just like you don't really get what, you know, what the functionalities are until, you know, you've actually gotten down to the nitty gritty details.
Right.
And there was definitely times where I kind of felt like, okay, I'm done, you know, and then I poked around further because we're testing the app and we're reviewing it. And because I had to like go a couple more extra steps to look at everything, then I was like, oh, and then I discovered something else, or, you know, things like that. And that kind of felt like the majority of the experience.
Yeah. I mean, definitely if I wasn't doing it for the show, I probably would never have clicked on presentation. Because it's just not something that I would have thought to do, but I just tried it just to see what it did, and it's kind of cool actually. But I agree that having to actually explore the feature in order to learn what it does is kind of not that good.
Yeah, and unless, you know, you're doing it in a very purposeful onboarding type of way. You know?
Well, right. But it wasn't onboarding.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like I had to go figure it out.
Yeah, it was throwing them into the pool and letting them swim.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think for me, when I got down to the core of the functionality, which is, you know, I was working on that fake project for a t-shirt design, and every time I clicked save, you know, you can see that as a version in the web browser, and then I started thinking about, okay, how would I use this, you know, at my own job, and I couldn't really see that necessarily in my small startup, but definitely in some of the past projects that I've used, you know, with bigger organizations, like it could be useful.
Yeah.
It definitely, you know, it was really interesting. It was really cool seeing, like, for me, you know, how it kind of evolved and things like that, and be able to mark a certain one and stuff like that. But it also kind of changed the way I saved, and it made me want to save less often, you know, because then it became a version, you know, when you saved. And then, and I kind of felt like I wanted to save less often, which is like kind of dangerous.
Yeah, too. That's really dangerous.
Yeah.
Like I've been burned so many times by not saving that like I am incessantly saving things.
Oh yeah, like sometimes I'll happen on like a web browser too, because like, just like trigger.
Yeah, because like I've lost files and I've lost hours and hours of work because of, you know, Photoshop crashes or something.
Yeah, you can tell a pro, someone who's been in the design industry for a long time, by their twitch of like their thumb and pointer finger and just like saving just all the time.
It's a every reflex. Every time
you're trying to make a decision in life, they just like have this twitch. Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's scary. So like it sort of taught you to not save.
Yeah, I almost wanted it to be really smart about it. Like, so I'm saving like crazy and have it be kind of more smart and sort of say, okay, this is a version. And then a couple, you know, 50 saves later, I don't know. It knows that enough has changed and it says, okay, this is a version. Or maybe I could do like a special action or a special kind of save, you know, where, okay, I'm like marking this one as, okay, I'm saving and this is a version or something.
Yeah.
You know, for me personally.
Right. So like differentiating between just saving something and versioning something.
Yeah. This is a version that I want people to see. I want to be on the website. And then also just, I nudged something 5 pixels and save. I need to save. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what else? I mean.
Okay. Well, so moving in, there were some really interesting things. Like, I think when you're setting up your profile and stuff, I think that page is actually really beautiful, really well done.
Yeah.
I liked everything on the settings page, believe it or not. Like I thought it was like really, really well done.
Yeah.
And that's not just because one of the alert messages hit on me.
Oh.
And it had, it was like, I think it was like, I don't know, something like settings saved. And it was like, by the way, you look really nice today.
Oh.
I love little like kind of quirky things like that in a UI that kind of catches you off guard. So that was fun. And then also the profile photo thing. Did you see that?
Yeah. That's how I got my profile pic on there.
So why don't you explain that a little bit?
So in Layer Vault, so you can obviously upload your own profile photo.
And by the way, this is on screen one.
On screen one. So instead of uploading an actual picture, they have this feature called the kaleidoscope. And what you can do is when you mouse over the colored section there with all the shapes, you can click and drag it in different directions, and it starts, you know, making a kaleidoscope of all that stuff. And then what I also did was I clicked the shake button. I don't know if you did that.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a randomized.
Yeah, but it actually shakes it.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
And so it's nice. It gives you a way to make a unique profile that is sort of your own, and but, you know, like if you don't want to necessarily upload a picture or something, it's a nice way to, it's a very elegant, very cool way to do default photos.
Yeah. And it's much nicer than the actual default photo that you can see there on the left.
Yeah. So, and also, you know, just another interesting thing as far as, I guess this could be under the interaction section. But one thing I noticed with, on the web, on the menu, what is it called? Screen four. So when you're looking at kind of your projects and you hover over a section, like a folder, did you try that?
Yeah. So you get that little menu thing that pops out?
Yeah. So what happens is like a line starts going from underneath it, and it takes about, I don't know, maybe 2 seconds, maybe less. And then this happens, like, you know, this menu comes out. So it's almost like a long press.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really interesting. Like it was a very interesting, element, you know, that I haven't really seen, especially on the web, but sort of felt like, oh yeah, like that's a tool that we could use. Mm-hmm. But for me at the same time, I realized like when I was thinking about actually using it, it felt like a moment too long. Mm-hmm. Like it took a moment too long. And I realized that there's no quick way to get to that menu. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's not that big of a deal because, you know, the only things you can do on there are mainly settings type things like changing the color of the folder, leaving the project settings, deleting it, things like that. Mm-hmm. And if you want to view it, you could just click. So when I realized that, I think that's really cool then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really liked it. It's definitely something that I haven't really thought about as a tool for being a designer as like, okay, this is an impossible interaction. So that was a great surprise.
Yeah. What about, I wanted to ask you about the colors thing, because when I was playing around with creating a project, or in this case, well, yeah, this is a project, and I clicked on one of the color circle things there, I didn't really see it change that much. And I don't know if that was just either like a display bug or something, but did you notice that?
Yeah, I mean, I think because it's they're outlined icons, uh-huh, and stuff like that, it's usually harder, you know, because there's only so much there, you know?
Yeah.
And then it changes color. I think that's it. But it, I mean, it did change, but it was just that icon's outline.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That changed.
Cause I just didn't notice it, I guess, but
I think for me, the last thing I want to say for the general user experience is, I think that they need a little bit more of also the quick and dirty functionality, kind of like how, I don't know, something like Redpen is, mm-hmm, where I want to throw something up. I want to ask you about it, or, you know, I want to quickly put a file together, send it off to as a presentation, like kind of just get that going. Mm-hmm. I think would also like having that option would be really nice to, yeah, just be able to do something really quickly.
Yeah.
And then that kind of brings in some of the smaller groups as well.
Yeah.
All right. And then another thing that was really well done was the commenting. So, you know, like I said, there's Redpen, there's InVision, yeah, and stuff. One thing I really liked about Layer Vault was the fact that there's two things. One is that when you can comment on a specific area like those other ones, but then it kind of does like a cool, like nice, busier curved line. Uh-huh. And then puts the chat all into one column in the left. And then you can also see everything in like their own thread. So like, let's say we're talking about the t-shirt font or something.
Right.
And then that goes off to its own little thread. And so when you what it looks like on the other side is like, okay, I'm new to the conversation. I'm new to this page. And I can see on the left, there's like five conversations happening. Click into the font, you know, one, and click into that and then see that there's 15 there,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I like that. Yeah. That was nice.
Cool. Well, so how would we improve some of this stuff? What do you think about fixing some of this?
Well, definitely on the onboarding, I think there's a lot more that can go into either, you know, images, either some text. I'm always a big fan of showing. Yeah. So either a small video or, you know, maybe an example project that they can put together. I know that they do sometimes give you like an example file, which is really good, and they could totally, yeah, use that and kind of go through. And I'm always also like a big fan of like giving them a real use case almost, mm-hmm, you know, cause like their example was like the logo and like five different weird colors or something like that.
Right.
But I love when they give me like a story that I can kind of put myself into, like, okay, you know, this is for a ad agency and they're delivering, yeah, this to a, you know, to a person. And, you know, here are the five, and the five seem like a really, you know, real different versions, you know, and that for me helps me like, boom, I get into it,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and I understand what I'm going to need to do next. And then they show me and I'm like, oh, and I learn.
Yeah, that's a good idea. For me, I was thinking too, that if you actually need to download the app or whatever, like that should be like even step one, like make sure that people understand that they need this app in order for the system to work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I spent so much time just trying to figure out how to like put a file in there, and it should be like the most basic function of this service, right? Is just putting a file on the cloud. Mm-hmm. But it just took a long, long time to get that figured out. And then also the Dropbox part, because it was so buried in, I don't know how many different layers of menus, but if they're not going to download an app, they got to make the option to connect Dropbox like really, really simple.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Sometimes with third party stuff, it's like there's a point where you have to, you know, you're not going to be able to change.
Yeah.
Because it's the third party. So that's always tough too.
Yeah.
But it's like if you're doing that handoff moment, you know,
yeah,
and you can be like, all right, you know, here's everything you need to know. I'll see you on the other side, you know? Yeah. And as long as one thing I found is if people have purpose, if people really understand what their purpose is, that, you know, what they're trying to accomplish, and you've sort of, they really understand it and you've explained it to them well, so that they really, really understand it. I found that they can overcome a lot of bad UX. They can overcome a lot of, you know, mess ups that you do in your app, you know, as far as, making things clear and stuff like that. The biggest thing is, like, okay, letting them really understand what the functionality is, really understand why they need to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if it's messy and they got to, like, go put some code over there, it's a lot easier for them, because they're like, okay, I know why I need to do it. It's almost like that whole selling thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's, like, this famous Twitter photo that I see every once in a while from, I think it's from, like, some random article, but it's been, like, shared and reshared.
Yeah.
Where they show Mario, you know, and the fire plant,
uh-huh.
And, you know, oh, yeah, like, you're not selling this. And then they show, you know, Mario with the transformed, like, fiery red overall thing, uh-huh. And shooting flames, like, you're selling this. Yeah. You know? And it's kind of like that. As long as you can show them that, like, they'll do whatever it takes,
uh-huh.
in any weird steps to get to that point. Mm-hmm. So it's all about, that's why I think the onboarding process and the website process is so important, because if you can just give them the why, like, this is why you need Layer Vault, they'll kind of go through every awkward process possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then anything you do there is just bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Anything else on that?
Nope.
Oh, actually I had one more thing to say. So, kind of like we've already said, you know, a lot of the main features of Layer Vault are sort of hidden away, and the onboarding process could help that.
Yeah.
Two other ones that I kind of, one that I found, cause I had seen a couple updates from Layer Vault, like what they've been adding, like kind of just as being on designer news. And so one I did find, which was, you know, as when you're previewing the design, there's all these cool tools, like, you know, a color picker, being able to, like, see the different, the spacing between things. If it's a Photoshop file, you can actually highlight the text and stuff like that, which was really cool. I like that. The one I couldn't find was, there was a really cool update that I saw that they did, which was you could create these, like, presentation pages. You could create these, like, HTML pages too, where you, like, save something in Photoshop and you've exported you sliced your PSD and it's being used somewhere, and, like, it gets, like, automatically sliced and replaced or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And that blew my mind, but I couldn't figure out where that is in Layer Vault.
Huh.
And I honestly still don't know. So,
because that would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and that, like, when I read that, I was like, mind blown. This is going to change everything. And then I kind of forgot about it. And then when I came here, I was like expecting to see that, but I didn't. I don't know. I don't see it anywhere.
Huh.
All right. So let's move on to presentation, because it is a nice looking app, you know, design wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. For me, I didn't feel like there was a lot to say in terms of aesthetics. It's pretty minimal looking. It's mostly just a file system.
Yeah, I feel like when I look at corners of it, like wow, that's designed really well. It looks really nice and fresh and new. But when I kind of look at it more holistically, it kind of doesn't feel finished, I think. I don't know what the feeling is.
Yeah.
Did you feel that way?
I mean, mainly, like, if I'm criticizing the UI, it sort of feels a little too stark or too sterile. Like, there isn't enough, I don't know, personality behind it. Like, when you look at Dropbox, for example, like, you can tell it's Dropbox, right? Like, the screens, even though it's minimal still, the way they treat typography or the way that they use icons and stuff, it's a very Dropbox kind of look to it, right? Whereas here, it's minimal, but it's just kind of, I don't know what the word is. It's just kind of plain, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard thing about this minimal flat design that we're all into right now, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's like this very fine line that, like, you have to do your layout perfectly, because
mm-hmm.
I think in this kind of, like, you know, big airy, big white space type of design, it's really, really difficult. There's like a really fine line between, wow, it looks really clean and open and fresh, to this looks sort of, like, incomplete.
Yeah.
And I think the key there is, like, having a nice grid and a nice layout.
Yeah. I mean, it's not horribly done.
No, it definitely is nice, yeah.
But it doesn't seem to have that extra little bit that makes it special.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
All right, so what about some animations and interactions? Because there, the one thing about the UI itself is, like, it kind of just, you know, like what you just said. But then when you start clicking around, there's a lot of these, like, little polished elements that are really nice, and really it's the animation that really makes it shine.
Yeah, so there is actually quite a lot of little animations like that all over the place. So.
And it felt very pleasant, like, to kind of interact with things. Like, you're almost excited to see how they were going to animate that item.
Yeah. And even simple stuff like forms, like...
Yeah, like toggles and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, you know, I click something off, and then all of a sudden, like, half the fields just disappeared because they weren't needed anymore, which I thought was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, don't show me this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Or like we were talking about earlier, the menus that kind of slide out and kind of appear there. It works, too, when you're looking at, like, some of the files in your repository. So, like, I was mentioning the presentations. So when you mouse over, say, one of the PSDs there, a little menu kind of animates out, and then you got all these different options, and one of them is presentation. So there's stuff like that, like, all over the app.
Yeah, animations really, really do a big job in making the app feel like a next level, like a really professional next level, like, adds a lot of feel of quality to it, doesn't it? Like if they could animate that one thing that way, then I feel safe with them backing out my PSDs,
yeah.
You know, or something like... It's so funny, like, how, like, our psychology works like that.
Yeah. I mean, I just kind of wish they had put a little more care into just, like, the static UI, right? Like the animations are nice, but, like, we're talking, like, it's a little too plain-looking just on its first view.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like I want to be enticed more by how it looks, and then the animations on top of that would just make it, like, really awesome.
And one thing back around the UX is... One of the hardest things I think for designers to do, at least for in my experience, has been how do you design the zero state for things? I think they did a pretty decent job of the zero state in this app. You know, like one is that default kaleidoscope type thing, and you know, and also kind of like enticing you to add a project or things like that. Like when the zero state is a really important, you know, screen that's often overlooked by designers and sort of like, oh yeah, at the last second.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, because you want to design it with all the nice stuff looking.
Yeah, you're like the big photo,
yeah.
The big, you know.
But that's really all a part of onboarding too, right? Because that's going to be the state that they first see. It's going to be part of how they first interact with the product. So it's important to consider that.
Yeah. All right, so anything else on the app we want to talk about?
I think in terms of that stuff, no. I mean, there isn't too much else to talk about aesthetically because it's basically just managing your files at that point.
Yeah, I mean, because the interesting thing about Layer Vault is it's one of those apps where I think that you always have to be really humble about what your function that you're providing is. Like sometimes apps get really aggressive with like, and like you're like, hey, listen, dude, you're just like a checklist item thing. Like I don't need you in all these places in my life and need you to become, you know, like you're just be a checklist item and go make another app, you know? And like there's some apps like especially this one that just need to melt into the background.
Yeah.
And I could see this kind of happening that like this would just melt into the background. You know, maybe a manager or somebody else that I work with would be, you know, logging on and we would discuss and it would really start to feel like a very background item.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, I think they did a good job.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. So.
So did it align with your expectations?
In general, no.
Uh-huh.
Just because I was thinking of it in a very different kind of way than what it actually was. And that's mostly probably my fault because I didn't look at any of the marketing materials.
Well, and I did, you know, like, and like I said, like, I didn't look at the video, but I looked at the homepage and like, and also like had seen a couple things from designers. So I didn't really match my expectations either. I don't know what I was expecting, but I was expecting it to be a little bit more grandiose, I think.
Hmm. Grandiose in what way?
Well, I was thinking it would be, you know, have like all this like functionality I had never even heard of. And like,
oh, okay, yeah.
You know, it would be like this amazing thing where like I could see all the layers or I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was another thing is like I was kind of expecting it to have this functionality where people who don't have Photoshop could extract layers from my Photoshop file and kind of interact with my Photoshop file in certain ways.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It wasn't that.
Yeah, it didn't do that. For sure.
But that would be cool, right?
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking of it more like a, I guess more of like a, just a static file sharing, file repository type of thing.
Yeah. One thing that I didn't, that was a surprise alignment that I really didn't think about was, you know, I didn't really realize that I kind of wanted to see something evolve, but like kind of having seen it, it's a huge plus. Like, it's obviously not something that I need, mm-hmm. but like, I think about it like right now with the project I'm working on, like it's been, I think like 3 weeks or something that we've been going back and forth on this app, and it's really evolved. And like, I would love to see, you know, from V1 to now. And like, sometimes I do that. Sometimes I'll peel off and really, make a new version and stuff like that, just so that I have the old version to like look at. Mm-hmm. But this app would be really cool, especially if you could like make a video out of it. I don't know. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool? Like just to kind of like almost like a time lapse yeah. of all your saves and like, and be like, you know, it started as this and then it grew to this. And this is our final version. Uh-huh. Like would be really cool.
I mean, it'd be a much more interesting way of showing, you know, your version history for sure.
Yeah. 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 And kind of like maybe even like if they, I don't know, animated it. Yeah. that'd be so cool. I'm getting like way too blue sky here, but. That'd be so cool. Like, you know, the circle moves from over there and grows and shrinks, and that'd be cool.
Well, maybe we can ask Kelly about it later.
Yeah, Kelly, you're a genius. Make it happen. I mean, that is interesting. I mean, I can't wait to talk to him, but, you know, him being the former CTO is really interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So what about you? Would you use this at your job? Would you take this to, not home? I was going to say, did you take this home? It's like the opposite. Would you take this to work?
Well, this is an app, like, I don't know, I'm kind of torn on this one because, like, for me, like, just my personal stuff, like, I don't think I really need it that much. But I can definitely see a use for it for, like, if you're working on larger teams or projects where you need to collaborate with a lot of people, because there's a lot of nice little tools and features for that stuff. But, you know, like, for just my own projects, like, I'm not going to write comments on my Photoshop files to myself.
Really? I do that all the time.
I mean, I'll write
good
on
a nice clean <window.
laughs> Love that color.
Nobody else is going to do it for me. Now you know what it's like. Now you know what it's like to be a designer of one at your company. Like, that's what all the startup designers are feel like. Yeah, we do that all the time. No one else.
Okay, so here's a new use case, right? You can just invite other people to comment nice things on your projects.
No, I have a better idea. A service that, like, you know, just has automated nice comments.
Yeah.
on your images. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's
I like that.
It's like the Uber for commenting.
And they could just like source all the Dribbble comments, and they'd be like, "Nice, cool, clean, good job, bro."
But yeah, so like, I don't know, for if I was on projects where, you know, there were a lot of people needing to collaborate, or imagine working remotely with different designers in different parts of the world or something, you know, this would be a really nice way to connect with them.
Yeah, I really give it some thought, and I do some like moonlighting freelance sometimes, and I thought this would be a really, really good tool for that, for like you invite your client into the like as an organization or something.
Yeah.
And you know, clients always kind of want to see how things are progressing when, you know, they haven't got the, you know, final version yet, you know, so it'd be nice for them to log in and see like, oh, he, you know, that's how his creative process was to create the logo, or that's what her, you know, method was to get to that point for this profile image, you know? Mm-hmm. So I actually see it like really, really useful for freelance.
Yeah.
You know, cause it's almost like being able to like watch them work almost.
Yeah.
And see how, you know, without it being like annoying where it's like a recorded video or something, you know? Because I've seen that as a tool, and that's, like, sad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cool. All right. So, now we will transition over to our segment with Kelly and hop on and talk to him about some of the things we found here that we've just talked about, and some design processes that they have at their company, how they value design, things like that.
Cool. Sounds good. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is part two of the Layer Vault episode. With me is, of course, Jonathan. And, of course, we have Kelly Sutton, who is from Layer Vault. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Chris and Jonathan.
Awesome. So why don't you introduce yourself a little bit first?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Kelly Sutton. I am the CEO of Layer Vault. I've been doing Layer Vault full-time for 3 years now. We are a team of 8, and Layer Vault is simple version control for designers. Before Layer Vault, I had done a few other things, ran and eventually, or started and eventually sold a blog called Hack College, which is just Life Hacker for college students. And then I'm also known, I guess, around the world as the guy who got rid of all of his stuff at this thing called The Cult of Less, which is still extremely popular in different parts of the world.
Oh, wow.
One of them being Germany.
Well, what's that about? Like, it's kind of all about getting, you know, living on the least amount possible? Or?
Yeah. It was really just an exercise to see how my life changed when I started to get rid of everything. And I still maintain it to some degree. Recently.
Isn't that just like living in New York, though? I mean,
yeah. So, like, in a lot of ways, it is just like, well, you live in New York and you don't have a whole lot of space, but
or San Francisco,
yeah, or San Francisco, or any like, even just like any like urban city, right? Any urban environment,
yeah.
Your lifestyle kind of looks like this. But you know, being an engineer and coming from an engineering background, you know, I gotta have a system or a process for this. And it was the process that really took a lot of people's attention.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds really cool. I mean, I think that's always a really good exercise, especially when you make it into a process. Just to kind of pause here, because as designers, I think that's a good kind of exercise to, you know, flex your muscles there. Because taking away everything until it's something that you're like, okay, actually, I need that. I need to bring that back. Or, you know,
yep.
And you kind of arrive at some core elements of either your product's functionality, your product's user interface, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
I think it's always a really good experience to do that constantly too. Like, you know, you add, you know, a year goes by, you've added like 5 features, and then you know, okay, which ones could we take away and the users wouldn't even notice?
Yep. Yes. A few, so that actually has a name. It's called, I know that I've heard the GitHub guys talk about it a lot, and I think they actually do it. They call it deprivation testing. Well, they'll just take stuff away and see if anyone complains. And if no one complains, they just leave it out.
I like that, yeah. Because I can think of like one or two in my own product. I'm like, you know, if we took that out, I don't think anyone would notice for months.
Yeah, exactly.
So why do you, would you say designer, so for back to Layer Vault, where did you guys kind of decide like, oh wow, we really need to build this for designers, like they need this?
Yeah, for sure. So Layer Vault started off as really addressing a few personal pain points. So my co-founder at the time and I were sitting together at Blip TV, and Alan was trying to get a bunch of PSDs into Git and GitHub, and these are very large documents, and it just wasn't working out very well. So Alan turned to me, and he's like, hey, Kelly, can you just like build something that will do this for me? So I spent the weekend, and I put something together. I'm not a very good programmer, and I was an even worse programmer at the time, but it worked, and there was something there. And we decided to, focus on it, quit my job a little bit after that, and then we just bootstrapped Layer Vault for...
A little bit?
Yeah, well,
I only slightly quit.
Yeah, no, so, the little was in reference to, I guess, the length of time afterwards. So
okay.
I would just sold Hack College, so I basically didn't need to work for a little while, and had unlimited amount of freedom, and I decided to, I guess, reinvest all of my time and money back into Layer Vault.
Nice.
And really just build it up from that way.
Awesome. And so how much did you guys collaborate in the beginning as far as building the product, what it's going to do, and even, you know, I mean, obviously, I guess he kind of led the design part, but, you know, how much were you involved in the design process in those early days, and, like, what did it look like in the early days?
Yeah, so we made a lot of mistakes, I guess, in the early days, as you do. Designing is very difficult, and although I'll be the first to tell you that I come from an engineering background, I can definitely tell you when design is bad, and I can definitely tell you what makes for good design. So we kind of have this rule, and we've always had this rule in the company, that for a design to be good, you have to be able to succinctly explain it, whether it's a feature or just kind of a general concept. Like, if you can't write it down in a sentence or two, the results, like the end result, is probably going to be pretty bad or confusing or just not good.
Right.
So early on, we suffered a lot from really just that. Like, it was very difficult to describe what Layer Vault did, and we had a lot of features which now are no longer part of the product. we were a lot more cute than we were functional, I would say. So there were a lot of flourishes in places where they didn't need to be. You know, as you build a company up or build a service up, you release 5 things and then you look back and hopefully 6 to 9 months later you cut 4 of those, right?
Right. And did you guys do any sort of like market research? Did you talk to other designers about, you know, would they use a product like this or something like along those lines?
No, for a while it was really just we were just addressing the problems that we had personally and the problems that a lot of our friends had personally. So the first people that actually started using Layer Vault are still using it today, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of like the people that we built it for. Obviously, over time, as things grow, you need to do what they call, getting outside the building, right? You got to go and talk to your customers. You got to go see how people are using your product in ways that you didn't even know were possible. And that's very exciting and very terrifying. So, like for us, as kind of like these very large design teams kind of accumulate a lot of work inside of Layer Vault and put more and more of their process into the service and rely on us more and more, we start doing very interesting things. Like we have a lot of larger customers that use us for onboarding new design hires because the entire conversations around all of their designs, exactly how designs evolve, exactly, you know, like what's considered done and so forth is all captured in Layer Vault. So it's just like, hey, welcome to the company. Go check out the Layer Vault account to kind of get a sense of how we do things here. That was something that we obviously didn't even plan for at all. But it's kind of like an amazing thing. It's like, yeah, that's pretty valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I was kind of surprised at was, using it even just kind of like in a fake way, mm-hmm. was being able to see, you know, the revisions, like how useful that was. Cause I don't think I had really thought that was a feature that I would, you know, value a lot.
Yeah.
But then once I went in there and I saw, I kind of like saw over, you know, a couple revisions, what it was like, it was really nice to be able to see like, okay, wow, this has evolved like this and, you know, jump back over here or, you know, and I could start thinking about how I would use it in other like my real projects.
Yeah. And we actually just rolled out yesterday the ability for all that to update in real time. So now you can just keep that window open as you're working and kind of just like watch stuff come in. It's pretty magical, if I do say so myself.
Nice. My first thought was like, ooh, like I would love to watch like some famous designers just work, you know, like the public page and just sort of stare at it. Because, I mean, especially when you're on like something like Dribbble or something, you see all these like finished, polished products, you know, and you don't see V1 and you're staring at V1 and on your own design, you're like, gosh, this is terrible. And it gives you a little bit of hope if you can see somebody else go from like, you know, trying to like, you know, do a square or like a circle and like doing that for 15 minutes, you know, and then seeing their final version, be like, okay, yeah, like they did the same thing.
Yeah. And I guess that's like really what the product hopes to do both for design teams and just for designers in general, right? To really help demystify the process, because when you just see the finished product, it can be very daunting, especially for beginners. It's like, I will never be that good, right? But if you kind of see like how it goes from like a blank canvas to the end, it's not only good for beginners, but it's also good for other people on the team. Like you understand all the decisions that were made rather than just evaluating the finished product. Yeah. The conversations around those projects tend to be a lot more constructive.
Yeah, I mean, Chris and I went over that in the review, mm-hmm. and at the final point, I realized that like this is an amazing tool for like freelance, because one of the big problems in freelance is sort of proving your hours were worth it, because you know, you submit this like the, you know, this time thing, and you know, it says like you worked on this for, you know, 5 hours or something, and you really just came to, you know, do the top section, and you know, there's this black hole of, okay, what did they do in those 5 hours to come to this little thing? I value it, but you know, you never really feel like they understand. And so it'd be nice to just show them, you know, like, okay, here's the five saves over those 5 hours. And this is, you know, this is the evolution of that.
And this is why the logo is not bigger.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to help all the problems, but it'll help just that one, yeah. I mean, which is, you know, you take what you can get.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a freelancer, anyway.
So what part of the app are you most proud of from a design standpoint?
Yeah. So the part of the app that I guess we're the most proud of is, this is not the best answer, but it's kind of how we organize the information. So there's a lot of, we spent a lot of time thinking about some things that when you use Layer Vault, they're just second nature to you. And one of that, the big thing, or like the big, you know, point of using Layer Vault is to see your work evolve over time. And organizing things, taking like a traditional like file structure where you're navigating through folders and files and then introducing this concept of time is a very, very complicated thing. And doing that in a way that people understand is even more difficult. So I think like for me, it's always the thing that's always been the coolest about Layer Vault, which is just the timeline on every single file page. And then the fact that, you know, you can move files around and the history of those files stays with that file, whether you rename it or anything like that. And then you can just preview that, you know, within a second or two.
Nice. Yeah.
So that's my favorite, favorite feature.
And now that you know, your company is a little bit more mature now, how many employees do you guys have right now?
We're, 8 actually. A lot of people think we're like this huge, right, like multinational corporation, but no, we're just 8 guys.
And I mean, I think you guys do a good job. You know, well, one of Designer News, I think, was a great idea because, you know, that's a good outlet for you guys. But I mean, all your pages and stuff look really good. So whoever your designers are doing a really good job. So what is that? I mean, you're 8 people. A small startup is sometimes more difficult to have a process because you're constantly, you know, running around doing everything or trying to get things, you know, done for you know, investments or whatever, or you know, your big client or something like that. So what does that look like? What does your design process look like right now at the company?
Mm-hmm. So the design process has changed a lot over time. And I guess first and foremost, we always use Layer Vault to design and build Layer Vault. So it's kind of actually fascinating to just look at how things have changed over time in Layer Vault and kind of how we got to where we were. But the design process for us always starts with the end user. And exactly how we can make their experience better and how we can make Layer Vault even more valuable to them, right? Mm-hmm. From there, you know, once you have all of the problems that your customer hopes that you can solve, then it's up to you to build the features out to solve those problems rather than listen, because every customer wants, you know, certain features, but I know from film school that the way you receive criticism is very different than how you, I guess, act on it, right? A lot of people will complain about surface-level features or things that they wish it did, and it's really up to you as someone who's building an application or a service to find, like, the kernels of truth in whatever they're saying and say, like, okay, well, they want, you know, 3 of our customers kind of suggested features in this realm. Therefore, we need to really make sure that Layer Vault or like the web experience is a much faster experience, for example. What can we do there to kind of help that out? Or a lot of people kind of complain about like the difficulty ramp of getting up to speed in with their Layer Vault account. So we need to make Layer Vault more approachable and easier to kind of get started with. So I guess all of our design process really starts from our customers' problems, and then it's a matter of figuring out which pieces we need to implement to make to solve those problems. Really, the aesthetics of what we do is actually a very small part of how the company operates.
Yeah, that's a good point because a lot of the time, when, for example, like when I'm in usability tests or trying to understand why something isn't working, I tend to look at the user's behavior as opposed to like something that they're actually saying during an interview process or something like that. Because when you actually try and understand what they're doing over just, you know, say like a feature request or something, you tend to sort of see more about how to improve a product for a lot more people. Because, you know, people can just say like, I want it to be able to, you know, I don't know. I can't even think of but it's like looking at behavior over just what they say.
Yeah, and like there's a lot of stuff that people sometimes don't even complain about, right? Customers won't even complain about that. Like if you look at them and if you kind of like observe them for even hours at a time, you'll notice like Oh, yeah, it is kind of silly that we name files like final.psd, final.psd, final.psd. It's like, when is final actually the last one? But at the same time, no one's going to complain about that because that's just the way it's been for so long.
Right.
But that is a huge problem. Like, we believe that when you're kind of in that creative flow, you should be uninterrupted by any sort of technical details, right? And one of those technical details is file management. That's a big issue. But when you're focused on a design, you should not be thinking like, oh, I might want to come back to this later. So I should sit, you know, totally exit what I'm doing, like save a copy, duplicate a copy, put that somewhere safe, and then go back to actually focusing on the design.
What's going on in the background? Is there like a
well,
a bank robbery or something?
So
the alarm goes off whenever he's saying something really wild. Yeah. It's just part of the space there.
So I mean, yeah. So we're located in New York, and as my dad put it, in a city of 8 million, at least one person is always having a heart attack.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But I mean, I mean, you guys are right. It's kind of funny. Like even designers, these experienced designers, people. Just anytime you're working with users and trying to understand what they mean, it's like you kind of have to become like a psychologist and figure out, okay, why are they saying that? Like what's their root need? What's their where on the triangle is this need?
Yeah.
You kind of have to get to like this whole other level. And I think as designers at this, especially at this point, if you're not an illustrator solely, you're having to really get deep into multiple areas. And like, I think almost like psychology is one of the areas you kind of have to get, your feet wet in.
Mm-hmm.
But so earlier you had talked about the fact that you guys removed some features. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of curious about that. Like, How do you guys decide, okay, this is a feature that we had, we've built it, we've invested time into, but now we're going to remove it?
Yeah, so the decision to kill something is always a very careful calculus, right? And for us, there are like certain realities of the business that also need to be taken into consideration with killing certain features, right? The easiest way or the easiest decision to kill something is usually when it's something that's causing us a lot of trouble and that we're still not able to communicate, I guess, what it does correctly. And it's not used by very many people. So there are kind of like two ways that we kill things. We'll just remove them entirely and never revisit them and kind of just write it off. And then there's kind of like well, we're either going to kill this or we're going to iterate on it and really bring it up to the expectations of the customer. And really take it across the finish line in that regard. There's never really a finish line, but bring it to the point where its utility is unquestioned, right? Peter Ombly, the guy behind Sketch and the founder of Bohemian Coding, did an interview on our blog recently where he has this talks about surface area versus depth, and you can think of like the surface area of an application as all of its features, and then the depth of an application is like how deep do those features go? Like the really, really good features should do what you want them to do before you even knew that you wanted to do them. But that takes a lot of time, and it also takes a lot of like effort and focus refining the features to get to that point. And so we're really focused more on like how do we make Layer Vault deeper rather than give it a bigger surface area these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just thinking Photoshop has both, like, giant surface area and giant depth to every single feature out there.
Yeah, and, like, Photoshop's been around a while, right? To its credit, I think a lot of people like to hate on it, but it's still amazing just the breadth of things you can do in the application, and as weird and as clunky and as awkward as it can be, it is still just an insanely flexible tool because they do have that depth. Mm-hmm. And they do have like that pixel perfection that some other applications might not give you.
Is it hard to tell the difference? Because I know from personal experience working on product features and stuff, sometimes, I don't know, if you don't have the right metrics or if you're not looking at the right thing, sometimes it can be a little difficult to tell when you've either not gone far enough or it's just something that people are not using.
Yeah, so I think that's really where it just comes down to, I guess, taste and like your own personal Like, we have this phrase called expert gut in the company. It means nothing. Like, it's just, it's like, what do we think, like, what do our, quote, expert guts tell us about this? And when you look at that, when you kind of just try to look at it objectively and then also take into account all the data around a feature, you learn pretty quickly, like, yeah, okay, it's time to take this one out back and put a bullet in its head. So, or the other way, which is we need to invest more resources into making sure that this is a better experience.
So as far as our feedback goes on the app, we had a good time reviewing it in the previous segment, and I think one of the biggest things that we came across as far as improving it was the onboarding process, and I think you kind of already identified it a little bit as an issue, but really just the education about, okay, this is what Layervault does and here are all its features and you know, a little bit about how deep they go, but more about quickly getting that breadth of the application. And so when we had the onboarding process, it was a little bit confusing because, one, I think the marketing site was like the first step on that. Like, I think it's a beautiful, beautiful site with some really awesome animations and things like that. But as from my own standpoint, even kind of having absorbed a lot about the, you know, the application over time and what it does, I still was kind of confused at what I was about to expect and, you know, what the application does, what its feature list was. And what have you guys found about that? Are you guys already working on something like that? Or, and actually, Chris, why don't you explain also the Dropbox part of it?
Oh yeah. So I actually didn't even really look at the marketing site, just layervault.com. The way I got into it was through Jonathan's email that he sent me inviting me into the org. And so I basically just clicked on the email and went right into the product. And then I filled out the form to create my account, and then what happened next? Oh, yeah, the two pop-ups came up. And I remember I just clicked past them because I was ready to start using it, basically. and then once I got in there, I was kind of, like, not sure what to do next because I was expecting to be able to just, like, drag and drop files onto the screen or just start uploading things. But it turns out you actually either need to download the Layervault app or connect your Dropbox and stuff. And so I was sort of thinking at that time, like, it would have been nice to have either some helper text or something there in the interface just to tell you, like, hey, you know, make sure you download the app, or we noticed that you don't have the app yet, so why don't you go get it, or I don't know. But any thoughts on that?
Definitely.
Or something right before the step where they're asking you for permission or to go do something to give you like a deep why, here's why you're going to want to do that and here's what you'll be able to do.
Right.
Yeah. So the issues that you guys ran into also reflects a lot of, I guess, just data about how people use Layervault right now. There is a huge cliff getting on board, which we're constantly working to smooth out. And then like once you pass that cliff or get over that cliff, it's just butter. Like, people live and breathe inside of Layervault. It's kind of insane to just watch, like, see how much people use Layervault once they kind of get over these initial bumps. And that really goes back to, I guess, the idea of focus, right? You need to be able to describe exactly what you do very succinctly and definitely tell the story and different points of the story at the right time, which we need to do a much better job of, both in the marketing side and then also how we onboard people. And that's always a mix of how you address that. So in the case of Dropbox and like the Dropbox thing, that's probably something that will kill before too long, just because it's the type of thing that the Dropbox syncing stuff isn't as robust as we need it to be to provide a good or a really great customer experience. And it also leads to a bunch of confusion signing up, and it gives you a choice of how you want to proceed, and gives you a lot of rope to hang yourself with, I would say.
Yeah.
Which it sounds like you guys did.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, I admit that it probably was a little odd to be looking for Dropbox syncs when I was actually trying to use Layervault product.
Yeah, yeah.
As a user, you're always want to kind of be told what to do, especially during the onboarding sign-up process. You know, when there's a fork in the road, it's like this heavy stress, you know, that you have to, like, okay, you know, this is the, you know, I don't, we always think it's forever, but it's not, you know, you could easily switch. But it's like, okay, Dropbox or the Layer Vault app. And you're like, oh gosh, what are the pros and cons? What do I got to do? I got to research the, you know?
Yeah.
So it's always nice when you can sort of just put them on one track lane, you know, get them down. So I think that sounds like a good improvement.
Yeah. And then
even if it's not like a side thing where they can go plug into Dropbox, you know, later on, I think it's all good to just say, hey, download the Layer Vault app.
Yeah. And then even actually we're working even to smooth that out, because downloading and installing and getting an app running, right, is basically multiplying the onboarding process by two.
Yeah.
So we're looking to really smooth that out and also just provide a lot more utility to everyone else that's using Layer Vault. So you'll be able to really just drop files into the web browser or entire folders, and then we'll upload those and take care of those, and then perhaps introduce the syncing app when you give us like your fourth or fifth file and it's like, hey, you're using this pretty seriously, like you're going to want the syncing app.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea, because that was my other pain point, was like, I just wanted to get started and to start uploading things, and to have me go and install an app, it's just a lot of time commitment, right? So
yeah, and like the app makes like certain assumptions as well as to how you work and how you should work inside of Layer Vault, and so there's a lot of information up front as to how you. As to how you should use Layer Vault. So we're working on smoothing that out and really paving that road, I guess.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah, I think we also appreciated some of the finer details mm-hmm. that are in within the app. You know, first of all, like you said, I think there's all these like just these tiny detail animations that really make it feel a little polished and, you know, high quality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, something as simple as a toggle or like a message kind of coming down just with a little bit of animation all kind of made it feel like a cohesive experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One thing in particular we really liked that you can pass the kudos on to is the Kaleidoscope profile
yeah.
photo generator, which is a nice, nice touch.
Yeah. So I think some of the biggest successes from the company have been our ability to collect avatars, both between the Kaleidoscope profile photo generator and the Designer News pixel avatar creator. Mm-hmm. Those are both very fun.
I mean, you could license those things out as separate pieces of technology in themselves.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've been collecting people's background photos and posting like the top 10 each week.
Yeah.
Not each week, but every other couple weeks.
It is remarkable to see what people do with those.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have done some really unique stuff. And I guess one kind of obvious question to ask here is, when did you guys decide that you needed, you know, Designer News? I mean, obviously, it makes sense now that, like, wow, that goes really well together with something like Layer Vault, where you guys are serving designers in another way. But where did that come in, and where did you guys decide that, like, that's something worth putting time into before it was a thing?
Yeah, so Designer News we actually put online New Year's Eve 2012.
Oh, wow.
And then by the time we woke up in the afternoon of the 1st of 2013, January 1st, there were already 100 users. We were off the races. It was something that we had been kicking around for a while, something to build, because we were spending a lot of time on Hacker News, and it kind of just occurred to us, like, why isn't there a Designer News? When is someone going to build it? And then we were asking ourselves that for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months. And then we just spent a few weekends, put it together, and it's been really amazing. And then looking back, it actually makes a lot of sense as to why we're the ones to do that, since really the mission of Layer Vault is to elevate the designer and to make design teams, I guess, get the respect they deserve and have the tools to do so. Because I think up until recently, design teams were viewed as much more of a resource, and design was just something that you had to get done. But it really is one of the most important things in building a product. And we need to not only give designers the tools to do so, but also the resources and really help develop the market.
I mean, I think you're right. I think design is I think the era of, you know, design being really, really valued is sort of just coming into play here. Because, I mean, just as a designer myself, I kind of see that evolution happening. Like, if you look back, like 6 or 7 years, like, I think we all kind of were at a point where, you know, people were telling us what to do, and, you know, we were getting like $50 contracts to build a website and, you know,
mm-hmm.
terrible things like that. But now it's like, now that, you know, technology can scale for pretty cheap, you know, one coder can technically build the same functionality as another coder. You can kind of copycat what they've done, but design is still really, really hard to even just copycat, you know, like, or to make something of, because if you have a different functionality and a different thing, then the whole user experience needs to be rethought, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad you guys implemented that. That seems like, you know, Designer News is now like a, you know, my everyday, you know, kind of news cycle and kind of where I hang out. So, yeah, so thank you guys for keeping that and putting that. What are some, like, your future, you know, what are some future plans you guys have for Designer News, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so for Designer News, the key for us is to make sure that the quality never takes, the quality is never affected as it grows, right? And it's remarkable how quickly Designer News has grown. And at different levels, you need to do different things as like a steward of something like Designer News. And we also realize that if we mess this up, someone else is going to just make Designer News, and that's like the price that we have to pay. So we take quality extremely seriously in everything that we do with Designer News, and the things that you do to maintain quality when you have 100 users is a lot different when you go up to hundreds of thousands of people, right?
Yep.
Right.
And at the same time, this is our first time doing anything like social, so it is a bit some very weird rules apply that aren't just like, hey, do you like this service? Like, does this like make your life better? Cool. This is the price for it. Like that type of like logic doesn't apply at all to Designer News. And then there's a lot people actually have much, much stronger opinions on how Designer News should be run versus Layer Vault, which is kind of weird because no one is paying for Designer News.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny, like, you know, the same thing with the Monument Valley thing that just happened. They charged for more levels, and a lot of people give it like one star. And it's funny, like, how often we kind of expect things for free now, you know, because of, you know, kind of the startup culture or you know, the gaming culture or whatever. But, you know, I think there was, when you posted something about kind of sponsored news, there was some kind of backlash. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people, at least in the designer community, I was surprised at how decently received the news was because they kind of like, yeah, like, you guys obviously have to pay for some of this stuff. You know, it's not free for you guys to put on, even minus your time. There's costs there. So
yeah. Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, I think we're in a very fascinating position where we can run Designer News, and we can actually invest a lot of resources into Designer News. And then if at the end of the day, we're just able to really extract like 10% of the total value of Designer News out, as I say, Designer News will still be a success. So we don't need to totally start selling everyone's information or putting up, you know, all sorts of different Google AdWords and stuff like that. We're in a very unique position where the business mission is also aligned with, I think, the best interest of the community as well.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I guess last question is just, is there any cool new features that you guys are coming out with either on Layer Vault or Designer News that you're personally excited about?
Oh, yes. And I cannot talk about them. They're...
Dude, I thought I was going to trick you.
Yeah. So there's
last question.
So there's a few like minor things, kind of just going into like the depth of kind of exploring this like idea of like feature depth, right? Those are coming out pretty regularly, since those have an immediate and beneficial impact to all of our customers. There's some other stuff though that's not feature related per se, but it's gonna be big. we wrote a post hyping this up. We were supposed to come out with it a few weeks ago, but as things happen, deadlines slip a little bit. But we're getting pretty close.
Well, yeah, cool. I'm a big fan of just making it be done.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So thanks so much, Kelly, for coming on the show and talking about Layer Vault.
Yeah, and thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. If you guys want to get on Layer Vault, it's very simple. Just go to layervault.com and sign up over there.
And there's a free 30-day no credit card trial, which I always appreciate when they don't ask you for a credit card up front.
Yeah.
Yeah, we give you the option.
And of course, Designer News is just news.layervault.com.
All right. Thank you guys. Have spent another full hour here with us on Design Review. Thank you again, Kelly. And we will see you guys all next week.
Yep. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.